a text anytime to the show, 1-877-300-7275. I just got a text here from Dean in Regina. He said, Greg, I'm on the way to the golf course, and there's a moose by the refinery. I jokingly asked him what iron he's using to get around that moose, but nonetheless, we saw a bear a couple weeks ago, and now we've seen a moose, deer, plenty of times come to the city, but thanks, Dean, for the heads up. Moose on the loose near the refinery at the moment. King Charles III, Queen Camilla in Canada now, and thousands of royal watchers gathered to welcome them yesterday. It's kind of cool when whenever the king wanders into the crowd.
Welcome.
We can live up to your expectations.
Thank you for being here.
I like how he said there, hope we can live up to your expectations. You will hear what the king has to say as he reads the speech from the throne from Parliament this morning at 9 o'clock. During the Evan Bray Show, we will go live to the king's speech, and I'm sure Evan and crew will dissect everything he says, and many are not only expecting it to be about sovereignty, but also, will they give us any morsels of what they're actually going to do? They spoke a lot about what they want to do during the election. How quickly? Namely, out here in the West, I know a lot of people are wondering about, you remember about making it easier to get a pipeline going east to west? I wonder if they'll give us any morsels of information on what the plan is here in that speech today, too. At the movies, you know, it was Memorial Day long weekend stateside. Apparently, a lot of people went to the movies because that Lilo and Stitch movie made massive amount of money. So did Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible movie. But Lilo and Stitch blew away all expectations. $183 million. Globally, $342 million. Mission Impossible opened with about $76 million domestically, and around the world, over $190 million. But I recommend Mission Impossible, as I said yesterday, in the IMAX. It was awesome. But summer blockbuster season, as we call it, is a line that came courtesy of the very first major blockbuster. Do you know what it was? 1975, a movie directed by Steven Spielberg. And at that time, the word of mouth got around of this movie, and everyone was talking about it. It had an awesome trailer campaign. Literally scared moviegoers right out of the water. June 20th, 1975. This movie is 50 years old this year.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine. An eating machine.
This shark, swallow you whole.
Need a bigger boat.
Jaws. The massive great white actually doesn't even appear in the movie until about an hour, 20 minutes into the two-hour film because it kept on breaking down the mechanical shark. So director Steven Spielberg had to create rather inventive ways like Quint's yellow barrels to shoot around the fake shark that was always breaking down. And this here opening scene, it took 3 days to shoot. And to achieve the jolting motions of the shark attack, that swimmer in that opening sequence was actually wearing a harness beneath the water, and cables were attached to the actress's legs, and different crew members pulled on the ropes in different ways as if she was being attacked by a shark.
Hooper, hurry it up now, tie it on. Hurry it up, he's coming straight for us. Don't screw it up now.
Don't wait for me.
50th anniversary of Jaws. Richard Dreyfuss, he wasn't even Spielberg's first pick to play Hooper. Initially, it was either going to be John Voight or Jeff Bridges. But they wouldn't commit. So Spielberg's buddy, George Lucas, just used Dreyfuss in American Graffiti and recommended him. So that's how he got the role of Hooper. And Robert Shaw, my favorite man, the shark hunter, Quint. Well, he wasn't the original either. Lee Marvin, Sterling Hayden, they were first and second choices. Both turned Spielberg down. So that's when Spielberg thought, okay, Robert Shaw from The Sting the year before. And that classic Quint speech.
You know the thing about a shark? He's got lifeless eyes. Black eyes, like a doll's eyes. When he comes at you, he doesn't seem to be living until he bites you. And those black eyes roll over white, and then... oh, then you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming.
Oh, it is a riveting moment, Quint's USS Indianapolis speech. That was not in Peter Benchley's original book of Jaws either, but a friend of Spielberg came up with a speech, which was then whittled down on the set by Shaw himself, who is a playwright, On the day of shooting, he more or less ad-libbed most of the script that he had been handed. And it's an iconic moment, as is this one.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
And that was pretty spontaneous, too. Brody's famous line was entirely improvised by Roy Scheider on the day of the shooting, based on an inside joke within the production. They've been saying all along, oh, we're going to need a bigger boat here to get this done. And he just incorporated it in the filming. And, man, that is legend. But initially it was rated R. But after they kind of trimmed down some of the scenes, like the severed leg falling to the bottom of the ocean, that was trimmed down. It was given a PG rating. Yet on the poster, it read, maybe too intense for younger children. And my dad completely ignored that. It took me, little Greggy Morgan, to the theater with him because he badly wanted to see it. And I kind of did, too. And, well, the rest is history. For a solid year, I looked under my bed for sharks and worried about what was swimming beneath me wherever I was in water, like just about everyone else who saw Jaws in the day.
Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back. She wrote upon it.
Greg Morgan here joining me now, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJB Newsroom, and I just shared how I got a text, 1-877-300-7275, how Dean in Regina said he's on the way to the golf course and saw a moose by the refinery. And with urban sprawl, we just get larger and larger, spreading out, Kevin. It seems like we don't even have to leave to see wildlife anymore. A couple of weeks ago, bears.
Bears, yeah, deer.
Now a moose again.
Yeah, deer aren't that out of the norm.
It is unusual to wake up within the city and, hey, what's that on the front lawn? That's not a rabbit. It's a moose. My goodness. Yeah, if you have a picture, please send it. But hopefully it's not creating any. Can moose do any damage other than just leave them alone and just
call the
conservation officer, I guess?
They can
huh?
certainly get aggressive if they get close to you or if you get close to them.
I never understand people who want to do that, get up close as if they want to pet it. Because you see in Yellowstone, those people on the bison, you know, they get up close, they're told, don't go near, and then they do. Horrible things happen.
And they pay for it, yeah.
All right. Hey, Kevin, there is some horrible news coming out of northern Saskatchewan again, as these fires northeast of Prince Albert and Candle Lake there, they're merging together now?
Yeah, so these are the two fires that we've been talking about the last number of days that have caused a lot of problems, and this is the Shoe and the Camp fires, and we can tell you this morning they have now merged, and so this is a massive blaze. These two blazes on their own were, you know, something to be concerned about, and now they're even bigger. They're together up there. It's been dry up there. They haven't had the rain like we've had here in the city and then down in the south. And so we already know, and we've been telling you about this for the last day, that, you know, several cabins and other structures have already been destroyed. A lot of people have been forced to evacuate, forced to leave. A lot more are on pre-evacuation, including the resort village of Candle Lake. Once again, it had been under pre-evacuation not long ago. And obviously things have taken a turn, and so once again they have to be ready to leave at a moment's notice.
Oh, it's horrible to and seeing the images too of the thickness of the smoke and the glowing sky. It's just completely awful. The King is in Canada. He and Queen Camilla arrived yesterday, and this is it—a big day today.
Yeah, of course, the speech from the throne. You can hear that. We are carrying that live for you on 980 CJME at 9 o'clock this morning. It hasn't happened where reigning monarch has actually come to deliver it in roughly 50 years. So King Charles will do that today. They had a busy day yesterday. Toured a farmer's market, dropped the puck we were telling you about for that road hockey game, the street hockey game. And they regular people, they met with some regular people as well, just people who were there who wanted to fly out to Ottawa to see them, to potentially get a little bit of a glimpse. Some were able to shake the hand of the King. And so for a lot of people, it means a lot. And it's, of course, very symbolic today on our sovereignty, everything that's happening in the U.S. And so that's part of the underlying message and reason why King Charles is here.
Okay. 9 o'clock this morning, you will hear it live here on 980 CJME. Thank you, Kevin Martell, at 6:58. Yeah, we're getting into sunscreen weather now here with temperatures between 28 and 30 in the coming week here. It's not even officially summer, but this is what we've been counting down to, I think, for a lot of people after some cloud and rain from a week ago. And now clear sailing here most of the week, too. You know, at the corner of Angus and Fifth, there's a 30-unit Orange Buffalo Lodge in North Central Regina that is a project that has had to completely stop. In fact, it's been idle since last November after about $8 million in government funding ran out. So what's next? It's a pretty vital project to get done here. Obviously, we've got a huge housing crisis in our community and an affordability crisis as well. So to get this project across the finish line, what needs to be done? What can be done? I have been inside that new build, and it's going to go a long way in supporting low-income children, youth, seniors, families who are in need of support while they get back on their feet. And joining me is Doug McNair from the Board of Directors of the Orange Buffalo Lodge Project. Good morning, Doug. Welcome.
Thanks, Greg, for having me on. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you are. So what now? How do you get this project moving again? And who do you call on for help?
Greg, this project's probably one of the most complicated ones that I think I've ever been involved in. You know, we were pretty anxious to get the building completed with the funds that we had available to us. And then as we went, started going through the project, we realized that through cost escalation and admittedly a budget that wasn't quite adequate for what we were trying to do, we started to realize that we couldn't raise funds fast enough to keep the construction going. So we put it on pause to kind of reset the project, and now we're getting close to getting started up again.
Well, who do you call on next to assist in getting this done?
Well, you got to appreciate North Central Family Center is such a wonderful organization, but it's a small organization. It doesn't have a lot of resources of its own, so it has to rely on others. And part of that is relying on the community, and the community has been outstanding to step up to support the project. But also, too, it's important to have the governments involved. And so we've been spending the last number of months having some really good discussions with the city, with the province, with the federal government about getting the funds we need to get this project done.
And those conversations, are they promising? Have you heard anything, or is it too soon to tell?
They certainly are promising. I think once you mentioned you've been in that building, it's 80% done. We've had politicians and ministers through there and others, community influencers as well. And everybody says this has to be done. And so the discussions have been very encouraging. It is kind of interesting. We've come up against the federal election, which held up discussions here for probably a couple of months. So the province is helping us talk to the federal government as well.
Doug McNair, we're talking about the Orange Buffalo Lodge project there, Angus and Fifth. Yeah, standing inside, it's all at lockup right now. The windows are all in, and it's so close to being done here. And I know North Central Family Center committed like $4 million towards the community hub that's going to go in the building. They've raised nearly half through the Hopes and Dreams campaign. How concerning is it you're only at the halfway point there?
We're not really concerned at all. We've got lots of follow-ups there, and we've had nothing but good reception, really, once we get to tell the story. What we've done with Hopes and Dreams in the last 3 or 4 months, we've kind of put it on pause as well as we reorganize the project, I guess. We don't want to get ourselves into the situation again, so we've taken a good hard look at the challenges of starting a project before you're not completely funded. So this time we've engaged others to do complete costing, full costing on the project. And so we're about ready to relaunch Hopes and Dreams as well. So we're excited. We've got a new path going forward here. We've got the support of our funders, and we just have to bring this thing home.
Perhaps our listeners can help.
Absolutely. I think just the even awareness, drive by the building, as you mentioned, Angus and Fifth, it's really remarkable. It's a big piece of social infrastructure, they call it. It's like you have hospitals, you have schools, you have community centers, and we need this community hub for that particular neighborhood who has lots of needs.
Good luck, Doug. I hope this project gets fired up again, 80% completed. We got to finish it off, and I hope you get the funding you need.
Well, I'd like to invite you to the ribbon cutting here sometime in the future.
I'll be there, Doug. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate your time.
Okay, Greg. Thanks. Have a good day.
The King of Wishful Thinking. You probably intro'd this song back
in
the days of
CJ. I remember it very well.
Yeah, it's an oldie, but appropriate. The King is in Canada. King Charles III is set to deliver the throne speech during your show, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, 9 o'clock, we're going to
carry
it live.
Not many can interrupt the Evan Brady show, but I guess
the king can. That's right.
It's going to be interesting, right? Because clearly the message is for Trump and to show that we are united and, you know, let's put away this 51st state, which is something that Trump has really backed off.
Well,
since
for
Carter,
sure.
Right?
I think it's quietened down a lot over the last little while, pretty much since the election.
Yeah.
It seems to have.
So I kind of, and these are just my feelings, I kind of think that, okay, it's nice the king is doing this, but I think the message has got to be a little more promising for Canadians, don't you think? Because, you know, we heard all the plan, what they're going to do if they win the election. Now, where do we go from here? Like, how will this government, you know, rebuild the economy and, you know, get Trump to back off of these tariffs? And more importantly, you know, strip away these trade barriers that they keep talking about. Do you think we'll hear, like, a blueprint,
well,
if you
I think,
will, today?
I think we should. That's exactly what the speech from the throne is really supposed to do, is set out a blueprint, as you said, for what we can expect to see over the next little while. We have been talking over the last couple of years about everything from cost of living crisis to tax reform to, you know, even these things like clean electricity regulations. Scott Moe has come out with a list of things, 10 things he wants the federal government to do to show this mutual respect for Western Canada. Will we see some of that forecasted in this throne from the speech from the throne? To me, all of that stuff is very important today.
Now, yesterday, the king arrived with Queen Camilla, and I do enjoy watching them mix and mingle with the people.
Yeah.
The minions, if you will.
Shaking hands,
And you can overhear King Charles at one point say, well, I hope I live up to your expectations while I'm here as they're welcoming him.
You and I were just talking about we met the queen.
Well, long ago I said there was one time my Auntie Betty took me, and I think my mom was there too, out at Fort Capel, and you kind of remember this too, because you were in the area.
That's
they came
right.
by train or
they
something.
They came by train, that's right, and the Queen stopped in Belcaris for a few minutes, and there was a number of people, and there's a picture that was in the local paper where we were all dressed up. I was in Cub Scouts at the time. We were all dressed up in our uniforms, and I didn't get to shake the Queen's hand. I was, I think, a row back from that front row, but there were people in town, like including young children, designated to curtsy and give her flowers, and it was a big
Did
deal.
Did you make the local paper at least? Could you find yourself?
Yes.
You
yes.
are.
We were, absolutely, yeah.
There's a picture of you.
A picture of young Evan Bray, Cub Scout uniform.
Oh, you've got to find that photo.
We'll dig it up.
We've got
I'm
to
sure
find
Linda,
that.
My mom's got to have it somewhere.
Oh, mom saved everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's going to be interesting. So 9 o'clock, you'll carry that live. What else is coming up?
That's
today?
Right. Well, we're going to start. I know you chatted with High Commissioner from Canada to the UK, Ralph Goodale, yesterday. I've got him starting the conversation this morning at 8:30. I've got a university professor who's focused on history after the King's throne speech is given. We'll review that. We're going to open up phone lines as well. I'm curious to hear what listeners have to say, their thoughts and opinions. So a lot of different things, but I would say mostly focused on this throne speech this morning happening just after 9.
Okay. Evan Bray is leaving the building for now. Goodbye, Evan. Thank you for the preview. And we will have you back here at 8:30. CJME News Time now is 7:27.